August 2nd. Last night, I attended the Milton Falls Modern Quilters meeting, which is to say, I didn't attend the Peacemakers. In case anyone is wondering, I'm not switching sides. I did it for Sheila and for Daryl. My official reason for attending the meeting was to give a brief announcement about the opening of Thimble Pleasures on August 25th and pass around a 20% off coupon. My unofficial reason was to make Daryl happy. He'd been wanting me to go to a meeting all summer, and after the big quilt show debacle, he'd become even more insistent. I'm not saying you should quit the Peacemakers, Marn. I just think you should experience the moderns, he told me over brunch at Parsnip Sunday before last. We didn't usually go out for brunch, but Daryl's men's group has a It's Summer, Live Large challenge, and going out to brunch is one of the items on the Challenge Yourself list. When I asked Daryl why, he said, for some men, Sunday brunch in public is no walk in the park. They'd much rather be at home in their easy chairs, getting ready for the afternoon games. If this were a real challenge, I thought, they would have issued it in fall, during football season. But I kept this opinion to myself. I'm 100% supportive of Daryl's men's group. First, I love having a fire pit in the backyard. We had a string of cooler days in June and then again in mid-July, and it was lovely to sit out there and chat or not chat, depending on our moods. I can't wait for fall when the real fire pit action begins. It's also been nice to see Daryl and his men's group out there in the backyard talking about, well, whatever they talk about. They have a what happens at the fire pit stays at the fire pit policy, so I don't know a lot of the details about their discussions. In June, the topic was recycling of all things. Daryl insisted a lot of men he knows are ambivalent about recycling, mostly because they hate to be bossed around. That's just silly, I said when he revealed this disturbing insight into men's psyches. And counterproductive. If we don't start thinking green, we're in a lot of trouble. Doesn't matter, Daryl told me. A lot of men see recycling as a woman's thing. They need to get in touch with their feminine side then, I replied. Daryl shrugged. Probably. And that's a good reason to talk about recycling, to dig into our subconscious attitudes about that kind of stuff. And to drink beer with the guys, I added. And to drink beer with the guys, Daryl admitted. They're not mutually exclusive activities. July's topic was, is it okay to love football? But all Daryl had told me about the discussion was that, in the end, this group of six middle-aged, heterosexual guys decided that, yes, it was okay because the helmets are so much better than they used to be. What a relief. Back to brunch. Daryl actually likes brunch, though he doesn't love Parsnip. The food is great, but the foodies who congregate there give it a certain vibe. Like, if you don't have an opinion on maitake mushrooms or have zero idea what inameshi is and have never tried mochi bomboloncini, you really shouldn't be allowed through the front door. So, the challenge for Daryl wasn't so much having a late breakfast out. It was more eating eggs surrounded by people who might at any moment tap him on the shoulder and inquire if he'd ever considered vegan eggs wrapped in ubi tortillas. I'd just told him that Sheila had decided to give out 20% off coupons for the month of September, and Daryl had suggested I come to the August Modern Quilters meeting and pass them around. Why don't you do it? I asked. You guys do announcements, right? You could announce the grand opening and hand out the coupons. Yeah, but you're more involved with the shop than I am, Daryl said. You're there all the time, and you know every line of fabric Sheila's carrying. I think it would be good for you to come and convince the modern quilters that Thimble Pleasures is a safe space for them. I nearly spit out my cappuccino. You're not serious, are you? Daryl nodded. I know it sounds a little juvenile, but the fact is, a lot of the people in the guild are hesitant when it comes to quilt shops. Look at the Cozy Quilter. You walk in there and it's 1861 all over again. Their collection of Civil War repro fabrics is overwhelming. Carol Woolsey said she got hives from just looking at all those tiny calico flower sprigs the last time she was there. How is Carol? I asked. She's totally dropped out of the peacemakers. She seems fine, although I think she's done something to her face. It's like she only has one expression. Botox, I bet, I said, nodding. And aside, of course Carol is doing Botox. Sometimes I think everyone my age except for me and Sheila is Botoxing. I'm not against it, necessarily. I just know that with my luck, my first injection would freeze my face permanently, and I'd spend the rest of my life scowling at people. It's true. Sometimes I accidentally catch my reflection in a well-lit mirror and immediately consider a facelift. But then I take a deep breath, think about how great Meryl Streep in her untreated face look, conveniently forgetting that I'm not the great beauty that Meryl is, and go about the rest of my day. So, you think I should come to the Modern Quilters meeting to make everyone feel okay about shopping at Thimble Pleasures, I summarized. That's right, Daryl agreed. Bring the coupons and a list of all the Moda and Ruby Star Society lines that Sheila's carrying, and mention the coffee shop that's there. What's it called? Morningstar Java. Remind them that Morningstar Java is in the same building. Then Daryl leaned forward and put his hand on mine. You know the other reason I want you to come is because I think you'd enjoy it. And I want you to experience what I enjoy about it. Well, who could resist that? Listen, I've got plenty of friends whose husbands have no interest in doing things with them or sharing any part of their lives outside the house. Sometimes I take Daryl for granted, but I know I'm lucky to have a husband who I still like, who still likes me. Besides, I was really curious to see Carol's face. The moderns meet at Milton Falls Central Park Community Center. When Daryl and I got there, 10 minutes early, I might add, there were only a handful of seats left. Thank goodness I printed out more coupons than Daryl thought I would need. Those in attendance were a pretty mixed crew, age-wise and gender-wise and otherwise. I was pleased by how eager everyone seemed to be to get their hands on a coupon, and by how professional I felt answering questions about fabric lines and classes and what brands of thread the shop would carry. Show and tell surprised me. So many of the quilts we saw would have fit in no problem at a peacemaker's meeting. On the way home, I asked Daryl about it, and he told me he heard that this was true at many of the local guilds. A lot of the people who join the Modern Quilters Guild sign up because they like the group and feel really comfortable. But it turns out they don't really make modern quilts. They make quilts using funky, bright prints and solids and call them modern. Apparently, this happens everywhere. It's kind of a crisis. I guess there are worse crises to have, I said, especially if everyone is paying their dues on time. Yeah, but people get cranky when their quilts don't get into QuiltCon, Daryl said. I bet your quilts will get in, I told him. We'll have to go. Where is it again? Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, we could go to QuiltCon and then go to the Outer Banks. I stared at him. In February? February is different in the South, Daryl insisted. You'll see. Final takeaway from the Modern Quilters Guild meeting. It didn't seem all that different from a peacemakers meeting, except for the variety of people there and the number of visible tattoos. I guess a quilter is a quilter after all. Oh, and as much as I hate to say it, Carol Woolsey looked fabulous. Darn it! August 14th. I nearly broke the speed limit driving home from Thimble Pleasures this afternoon. I was so excited to write this down. If my handwriting is a little wobbly, it's because I'm writing as fast as I can so I don't forget all the delicious details of what just happened. Long story made short. Tom Grangerfield fell head over heels in love with Sheila. Don't believe me? Ask Emily. She was there and she can confirm it. Note to self. Just because Emily and I bonded over our shared witness of the most hallmark moment that either of us will probably ever experience does not mean I'm happy about her working at Thimble Pleasures, which she is doing full time. More on that another day. A lot of friends have been stopping by the store over the last couple of weeks to see our progress. So it didn't surprise me when Jessica popped in this morning. She's almost in her 9th month, and there's no way for her to sit comfortably. So if she's not lying down, she's walking. She likes walking downtown while the boys are at summer camp in the mornings, and it's not unusual for her to come in with coffees or treats from downstairs. What made today unusual is that Abby and her new supposed beau, Tom Grangerfield, came with her. Tom Grangerfield was a senior at Milton Falls High when Sheila and I were freshmen, and he was by far the most popular boy in school. You know the drill. Quarterback for the football team, pitcher for the baseball team, prom king, homecoming court, handsome, smart, and from one of the richest families in town. He was also rumored to be a nice guy, but how would I know? I was a chubby 14-year-old with braces. Tom would have had to have been a saint to pay me any attention. He went off to Ohio State for college and then came right back to run his family's bank, while his sister, Darla, ran the family's insurance company. Because every generation of Grangerfields seems to contain at least 3 Toms, the family's paterfamilias was Thomas Grangerfield, who was married to quilting maven Emily Grangerfield. This Tom came to be known as Banker Tom, while his uncle, Thomas and Emmeline's son, was referred to as Big Energy Tom since he was CEO of Central Ohio Energy. All right, this is getting confusing. Back to today's story. So, Abby and Banker Tom followed Jessica into the shop. Abby looked amazing as always. She was wearing an outfit that looked a little bit like the sort of romper that was popular in the 1980s. Turquoise blue, terry cloth, strapless. Add a gauzy white shirt and wedge sandals, and it was quite a look, one perhaps better suited to a tropical island than downtown Milton Falls, but who am I to say? Tom is still handsome. Think middle-aged Colin Firth, and in great shape. Of course, as soon as I saw him, I got flustered. I mean, he was the homecoming king and the prom king and student body president all in the same year. Plus, he's got one of those disarming grins that seem meant to make the lady swoon. So sure, I swooned. Just a little. I'm only human after all. But Sheila didn't swoon a bit. She was completely professional, though friendly, of course. The fact is, she's just way too busy to swoon. She gave Abby and Banker Tom a tour, telling them why she decided to open Thimble Pleasures and some of her hopes for the store. I trailed behind, and I could tell that Abby was mildly bored, but Banker Tom seemed really interested. At first, I thought maybe it was good manners, sort of like Prince William. Whenever I see a video clip of William on the news, he's always at some community center or nursing home, looking deeply fascinated by everything that everyone tells him. Really, if you ask me, he's the only reason the monarchy hasn't been dismantled. Anyway, at first I thought Tom was just being a polite, rich guy who's really good at pretending to be excited about Thread. But then I noticed that he never took his eyes off of Sheila. Again, it could have been a Prince William move, but I sensed that he really liked Sheila. Really liked Sheila. When Emily came out and Banker Tom barely gave her a glance, not the usual up and down look that a young woman as gorgeous as Emily tends to get, I thought, this guy is smitten. And you know what? After a while, Sheila seemed smitten too. She kept her patter professional, but she was sneaking glances at Banker Tom, and then the two of them were exchanging small smiles. Abby was oblivious. I'm sure it never occurred to her that a man in her presence could find another woman at all attractive, but Sheila is attractive, and she's smart, and she's funny, and she's got that girlish voice and a steel backbone, which is a pretty compelling combo. When Abby signaled that she was ready to go, Banker Tom gave Sheila his card. Let's have lunch next week. I've got some ideas about this place I'd love to share with you. Sheila took his card and gave him her card. After they left, she turned to me and Emily and said, I wonder what ideas he has. My guess is that he's never sewn a stitch in his life. I think he's got some ideas about you, Mom, Emily said. Couldn't you tell? Don't be ridiculous, Sheila said. One, he's with Abby. And two, men like that aren't interested in women like me. They like Barbie dolls. I think his first wife was sort of dollish, I said. But I met a second wife, Avery, a couple of times. Gorgeous, yes, but not a Barbie. She was an oncologist. And then she died of cancer, Sheila added, remembering. Boy, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? 15 years? You'd think he would have remarried by now, a man like that. Maybe he's just waiting for the right woman, Emily said. Frankly, I don't think Abby's the one. She's great-looking, yes, but she's, I don't know, too full of herself. Abby is all about Abby, Sheila agreed. But a man who dates Abby is not interested in dating me, which is a good thing, because I'm not interested in dating anyone. Emily and I exchanged looks. Sheila might say she wasn't interested, but who wouldn't be interested in spending time with a guy like Banker Tom, even just to see what it's like? I mean, he was prom king and homecoming king all in the same year, not to mention rich as a Rockefeller. You at least have to go to lunch with him, I made her promise. And order the most expensive thing on the menu, Emily added. Sheila rolled her eyes, but then she gave in. Okay, if Banker Tom calls to ask me to lunch, and I mean it, it has to be him, not his secretary, I will go to lunch with him. But that's it, because there's nothing more it could be. Another look between Emily and me. Famous last words, Emily mouthed. This could be big, I mouthed back. And even though we were being silly, I couldn't help but feeling that something big is about to happen. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.